Well, we've started this spiritual journey together, Lifeful Living, recognizing that true life really comes from Jesus. He promised something to us. He said that I have come to give life and give it to the full. And we actually believe that he came to give us a life to the full. We have a vision to create a space where Jesus, his name is lifted up real high, and people can come and hear that God absolutely loves them and wants to give them life through his son. Last week, we gave out some of these cool magazine booklets. Hopefully, you picked one of these up. If you did not, we have more of these. I'm assuming they are probably at the Welcome Center, because that's where everything, if you need anything, is always at. So go to the Welcome Center if you did not get one of these. And it tells you about the project, what we're looking to do, how God has been kind of ordering this together for us. But we've asked this question as we're trying to think through this vision together of having life to the full and giving it to others. We want to wrestle with this idea of what is God calling us to accomplish in this vision? What is he calling you to accomplish? What is he calling me to accomplish in this vision? So we're going to be talking about that today. Last week, we talked about the Lord lifting his name up. This week, we're going to talk about the lost. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we come. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're a God that we can come and we can worship you together. God, it is always good when your body comes together and gathers together to raise your name up. And we ask that we would do that well today in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in college, I had to go to chapel 4 times a week. I remember in my junior year, I was sitting in the chairs and the band came and I had stayed up too late and I was pretty tired. And they started to sing this song. They started to sing, "Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us." We were all standing up. I had a very bad attitude, I'll just tell you that. And they started to do motions. Do you remember this song? They started to do these motions. "You came from heaven to earth to show the way," type of thing. "And you came from earth to the cross to pay my debt." Do you remember this thing? And I was like, no way, not happening, not doing those motions. And it seemed like it was a brand new song my junior year, and it seemed like every time they sang this song in chapel, like it was like the 50th time, in a row we sang that song. It was a popular song, and I remember about the 50th time I went, oh, that's the mission of the church. That's the mission of the church. It like all of a sudden, after the 50th time, it took me a little while, but I went, oh, that's the mission of the church, to raise the name of Jesus high. I know you've seen this probably before, but I want to give you a little graph, and I want to walk through that with you. We've shown this before, the mission of the church. And we've talked about this. We have goals, we have measurements. What are we doing? How do we do it? What does it look like? Are we accomplishing? What do we set out to do? We ask the question, how are we going to reach people? But the mission of the church is to seek and save the lost. The reason it's the mission of the church is because it's the Father's heart. And the mission of the church, he didn't leave us here to just be here. He left us here to be on mission. And the mission of the church is to seek and save the lost, to raise the name of Jesus up so others will see who he is and they will respond in faith to him. The purpose is to love others, to love God and to love others. Jesus said that, so we do that, right? We try to do that. We want to be like Jesus in our behaviors, our values. So we ask that question, what would Jesus do? How would he do this whole thing? We want to be grounded in our faith. So what are our beliefs? What does it look like for us to understand, to live under the authority of the scripture? We live here. Well, these are our beliefs. What does it look like for us to do that? We want people to be grounded in our faith. This is a mission of the church, though, is to seek and save the lost. It's to raise the name of Jesus so others will come and to respond to who he is. The question becomes, well, how does the local church put Jesus on display? Is it slick marketing? Is it good programming? Is it street evangelism? Maybe. But Jesus actually answers that question. And that's what we're going to explore today. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 17. We were there last week, and we're going to be there this week. in John chapter 17. Jesus, he's about to go to the cross, and he's praying for the believers that will come after he goes to the cross, after the resurrection, after he comes back to, you know, he's resurrected, and then he ascends into heaven. He's praying for these believers that will come. It's the longest prayer we have of Jesus's. He's praying for you, and he's praying for me in this. It's this really crazy, glorious prayer. Let's just look at it. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So let's make a few observations here. Jesus says he's earnest in this prayer. He's praying for the followers to be united. Jesus is praying for, he's praying for our unity. He says, Father, in this prayer, I don't ask for these things only, but I also ask for those who believe in me, that through their word, they may all be one. The goal, his desire, his hope, is fairly clear here. That they would hear my word from my disciples, and they would become, they would respond to it, and they would become one. Later in the verse, in verse 23, his prayer is that the people become perfectly one. That word means to be fulfilled, to fill up, to be complete, to fill their unity to the brim. Finley, one of our boys, he loves soda. That boy loves the pop. If you let him pour his own pop, which is not a good idea, he will fill it right to the very brim. Right to the, he's getting every last ounce and every last lick of that thing, right? When he fills it. If you go out somewhere, you know, he's on the machine, the fizz is going down, and he's filling it right to the top. And you know, he's shaking as he's coming back to the table. He wants to fill it all the way up. That is Jesus' prayer for us. He's not like, give him a little unity. No, give it, fill it all the way up to the top. Make it complete. Make it full. Like spilling over their unity. Perfect this unity in them. Jesus really, really, really wants this for us. He's praying for it, right? If you think about this, I never pray for cloudy days. Oh, Lord, please let it be a cloudy day. I would pray for snow days, but it doesn't matter here. They make us come to work anyway. I don't pray for vegetables. Don't do it. I have never, ever prayed for the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Why don't I pray for these things? Because I don't want these things. They are not my desires. You know what I pray for? I pray for things like, God, man, may my kids know you and desire you. Like, I want that. I want them to know God and delight in God. God, protect the church. God, would you keep the evil one from destroying marriages? God, help me not to screw things up. When I'm sitting there and we're on that last song, it's one of my favorite times of the week. We're coming to open the Word of God together as a community. But my prayer is like, God, don't leave me up there by myself. Let your Spirit move. Why? Because I just got words. I got words, but He has the power to transform. And that's my prayer often. It's like, God, you don't leave me up there. I don't want to go up there without you. Those are things I need. Those are things I can't accomplish on my own. Those are things that I desire. Jesus is praying for something that he desires deeply for us, and that is unity. why is Jesus praying for our unity? He actually answers the question. In verse 21, if you look at the text in verse 21, he says that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The purpose is that the world, through our unity, that the world would see Jesus. That the world would see Jesus. He goes on in verse 23. He says, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, filled to the brim, right? To let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. In this passage, there's four groups, four identities. You have God the Father. You have Jesus, God the Son. You have believers, those who have responded to who Jesus is. And then you have the world. He has these different groups in mind as he's speaking this thing. He talks about those who believe, and he talks about the world. And in, if you jump back just a little bit into verse 14, it talks about this. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. So he's talking about believers. He's talking about Scripture. I've given them the word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore than I am of the world. That's a weird little phrase right there, and it's because, you know what, you and I live here on planet Earth, right? He's talking not about a physical location, but how we think, how we operate. And the world doesn't operate the same way as a believer and a follower of Jesus operates. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, right? He's not like, whoop, let's get them out of here, God. Father, I think that's a good idea. Let's get them out, right? No, you keep them there. Keep them there. But that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So Jesus, he says, this is the mission. Here's the mission. You go to the world. You go to the world. He has these groups of people, those who believe and those who do not. And what Jesus wants for the world, what does he want for the world? He wants them to believe. He wants them to know him, the one who gives life, the one who gives it to the full. He wants the world to see the great love of the Father. Why does he want this for them? Because the world hates the things of God. The world hates Jesus. Why does the world hate Jesus? Because Jesus, he rebukes the sin of the world. Jesus exposes my sin and your sin and the world's lies. And the world hates Jesus for it. The world hates the people of God for it too. Yet Jesus, he loves the world. Jesus came to save. Not to condemn, he came to save. And he wants the world to be saved. How will this happen? How will the world see the love of God? It's in the prayer. In the love we have for each other. In the unity that we have for each other. The world will see God's love in this unity. Are you seeing how important unity is? Our unity, it's critical to the mission. Do you know why the world sees God's love in our love and our unity for each other? Because unity is unnatural. It's foreign. We know this. There's fighting all over. There's hostility. There's disharmony everywhere. Politicians can't work together in Washington. City councils bicker about zoning things. Juries can't agree guilty or innocence. Co-workers fight about this, about vacation time and marketing plans. And families fight about when and where to hold Christmas. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of how the world operates. Brothers and sisters argue about who gets the inheritance. Husbands and wives fight about everything. You ever been in a fight with your spouse and you're like, what are we fighting about? Like it goes on so long and you're like, I can't even remember what we're fighting about, but I want to win. You ever been there? Yeah. It's just, it characterizes our world and how it's hostile and there's animosity. But then there's the church, the local church. And people see that. Maybe they see this place called Evangel Community Church, and they're different. It's the weirdest thing. There's a bunch of young families, but there's a lot of senior citizens. And there's a whole bunch of college kids too, not today. They don't all live in the same community, but they all care about the same thing. Some are rich and some are poor. There's as many men as there are women. You know, they have this Baptist theology, but they major on the major things and they don't worry about the minor things. And there's people who grew up Lutheran there. There's people who grew up Catholic there. There's people who didn't go to church at all growing up. Some people are white. Some people are black. Some people are Asian. Some are super youpers and some are Southern. Some are professors. And some work the whole year and don't get summers off. I'll pay for that one later. Some like music loud and rocking. Others like it more traditional. But they get along. They work together. They're patient with each other. They help each other out. Even with the money stuff. They speak well of each other in public. They don't all agree. But that doesn't change how they love each other and they work together. It's weird. This is unity. This is the connection. This is the picture that God wants to use to raise his name really, really high. In a world that disagrees about everything and fights about anything, how can it be that these people are different? How can it be that they're going to pool like $3.5 million together to do another phase on the church, all giving different amounts to build a building for more people to join? How can they do that and stay friends? How can they do that without gossiping and backstabbing? It doesn't make sense. Let me tell you how. It's a God thing. That's unity. That's unity comes from this supernatural place. It's divine. God must be there if that unity is there. It explains how a radical thing can happen with harmony. It's people coming together for a common mission to seek and save the lost, to raise the name of Jesus high. This is why unity is important. This is why unity is the goal. We can't have life of living unless we're united together. We're connected together. Unity says to an unbelieving world, God's love must be real because no other group can sacrifice so much, give so much, love each other so much, and accomplish so much together. Let's just break this down just a little bit. Let's just say, and I don't exactly know the numbers on there. Let's say they're, and I'm going to talk about money for a bit, so just get uncomfortable and squirm in your chairs. It's okay. I'm squirmy too about it. Let's say there's 200 giving units, $3.5 million project. Over 3 years, it's $17,500 per giving unit. So those are just numbers, big numbers, right? Some of you right now are going, no way, can't happen. My budget will not happen. It will not work. It will not happen. And there's no way. We can't do that. And here's the deal. We are not asking for equal gifts to accomplish this mission. We're asking for equal sacrifice, equal for the mission. That's the unity of the church on display. Raising the name of Jesus together, no one more important than the other, and asking the same question together. God, what are you calling me to do to accomplish the vision? A couple of weeks ago, I was preparing for a public launch, and we were preparing, there's a whole team, it's not me, there's a whole team that was preparing for that, and one of the leaders said to me, are you ready to do this? And I said, yeah, I'm absolutely ready to do this. I love going, man, this is the vision that God has given us, and do you want to be a part of this? Will you come along with this? And I think it's going to push people, and I think it's going to move people spiritually, and I think it's going to move me spiritually. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about sharing what God wants to do through this local church. And I said to him, I said, you know, I'm so excited. I want you to give $100,000. You and your wife, I want you to give $100,000. I was joking. And he looked at me and he said, no, but I will do $75,000. My wife and I have been praying about it. Had another guy, he came into my office and he says, my wife and I, we want to be able to give. And his head was kind of down. And he said, you know, as we look toward the future, like we're thinking like $8,000 or $10,000. And I know that's not a very big gift. And I said, well, why do you think it's not a very big gift? And he looks at me and he goes, oh, not equal amounts, equal sacrifice. Those gifts may be exactly the same in the sense of the sacrifice for those families. They may be exactly the same. The question that we ask is, and we all must ask, is what is God calling you to do to accomplish it? Maybe it's 500. Maybe it's 500,000. These offerings will not be equal amounts, but they should be equal sacrifices. If this happens, this produces the unity of the church. It puts God on display. It puts the body of Christ on display. I bought something this morning. I bought a Powerball and a Mega Millions. Anybody want to guess what the Powerball numbers are statistically of winning? Throw it out there. Anybody?
You got a better chance of getting struck by lightning.
Probably. Yep.
Same as a lion putting a
tooth. If I win, you get nothing. Let me show you what they are. Go ahead. Here's the odds. Powerball is 1 in 292 million. That's our odds. Or 1 in 302 million for Mega Millions. I bought them both, so it's 50-50 chance, right? Looking at the odds, most of us here would go, no way are we going to win that. No way. And I agree with you. But it's not because of the odds. It's not because of the odds. I totally believe that God could, if he chooses, overcome these odds. He could have made a lottery ticket fly up in the air and stick on my window this morning. That's the winning ticket. Why? Because he's the God of the universe. He's the God who spoke all of this into existence. Lottery numbers, odds are not that big of a deal for him. I'm just throwing that out there. But I don't think he's going to. It has nothing to do with odds. It has everything to do with raising his son's name up. What happens if we win the lottery? What happens to those people who are outside of this place? Oh, they're just a rich church. They won the lottery. It becomes about the lottery. It doesn't come about Jesus, right? I believe that they would have a hard time seeing the glory of Jesus. I believe that they would have a hard time because the unity and the vision to seek to save a loss, it would be lost in the lottery ticket. Look at verse 21 and 22 with me. It says that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This next line is amazing. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Let that sink in for just a moment. united in Jesus' glory. You've been given the glory that Jesus was given by the Father. All the excellence, all the splendor that the Father gave Jesus, Jesus returns around, and what does he do? He re-gifts it. Jesus is a re-gifter, right? He gives us that glory. Notice, Jesus says, I have given it to them. He doesn't say, I'll eventually give it to them. Sometime in the future, when this finality comes, then I'll give it to them. No, I'm going to give it to them right now. We already have it, and it's amazing. The glory that we've received from Jesus. The big question, what is that glory? What is that glory? What is the glory of Jesus that he has given to us? That's kind of a hard question. It's not clear, but my mind went straight to John 1:14. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What I think John, the writer of this book, is trying to do is he's trying to link this truth and this grace together. And he says, when we have this, when we're unified in this, what happens is that the glory of Jesus is shown, the glory of God is shown to the world. When my brother has an idea, rather than rolling my eyes because I'm already sold on my idea, I say, hey, you know what? I'm going to listen to that. What is he talking about? What is she talking about? We graciously listen because we want to learn. We want to observe. We want to hear. When our leadership team humbly says, church, we believe that we're leading in this way. We believe God is leading this way. We're filled with grace and patience, believing that they want to lead us into good and healthy places. It doesn't mean you don't have questions. It doesn't mean you don't have concerns. When we're struggling to get on board, rather than keeping it to ourselves, hiding the true feelings and grumbling in a corner, we're honest about it and say, you know, I'm struggling. Help me to understand. Help me to get there. Help me to move forward. We live with integrity. Not trying to manipulate, not trying to be cunning, but living in the truth. And it manifests in our life. We seek to be honest with ourselves. We seek to be honest with others. And to really go, is that out of my, like when I want to say something, when I want to do something, is it out of my own selfishness or is it really good to do this? Is it really gracious to do this? You know, Jesus was filled fully with both all grace and all truth. They were all filled up right to the brim. And in his body, when we do this together, we show the glory of who Jesus is. We live as one. And the great news from Jesus is that he's already given us this glory. All we need to do is put it in operation. Here's the deal. Everywhere I go, people are wondering, how are things going? How are things going at the new church? I go to the SDC, sit in the sauna, and that's the conversation. Not me bringing it up, them bringing it up. Oh, what's going on? What's that phase two like? What does it look like? Go to the grocery store. That's a pain. Right? You got to stop and I got to explain this thing over and over and over again, and people have questions and they're watching and they're looking. I'm sure that you've had these experiences. Oh, I go to that evangel church. Oh, I heard things about that. The former Shopko. Yeah, what's going on? They want to know what's going on. How are we going to do this? What is it going to look like? What's happening there? I don't believe we're going to win the lottery. I don't believe that. Because I truly believe that as we're united together for the mission of God to seek and save the lost, the glory of the one who deserves all glory and honor will be on display. The glory that God has given the Son who gave it to us will be on display as we ask the question, what part of this vision does God are you calling each of us into? We're going to do this thing together and put Jesus on display for all of Houghton County. I'm excited to put the King of Kings on display for people to see him maybe for the very, very first time. And to be a part of that vision and to be a part of that mission that he's called us into. Let me just share a couple of stories in closing with you. I was hanging out with one of my pastor's buddies from the area and he said, I'm really thankful for Evangel. And I thought he's kind of being sarcastic because he is. And I said, well, why? He says, because you guys are calling all the churches around here to be on mission with Jesus. And he said, when I'm stuck with my people and we're stuck in the old ways and we're not reaching people for Christ, I refer to you guys in your heart to see people know Jesus. And you'll do anything. You'll buy a huge box store. You're crazy. And it helps that they trust you. And they're going, okay, well, we can take that next step. Here's the deal. We never set out to be a big church. We never set out to have any type of regional or influence in the area. But it's beginning to happen. The goal has always been, let's put Jesus on display together. Let's put Jesus on display together. Let's seek and save the lost. Let's let them see who Jesus is and let them respond to who he is so that no one will perish just as the Father's heart is. That's always been our goal. When God has asked us something to do, we've said, yeah, okay, we'll do that. That's the goal. Never the goal to own a huge box store. It was never the goal. Last week, the IF gathering, there's about 140-something women here. Over half of them didn't come from our church. I was talking with a lady, and she said, we're so blessed to be there. So many people, they were fed, and they're fed not just physically but spiritually. And she said, you know, I was so excited to be a part of this because what happened was these women, and there's a, you know, the average church in America is about 80 people. These women, and this is just the facts, if there's ministry happening to children, it's usually the women doing it in churches. And she said, these women are coming out, and nobody's pouring into them, but they're going, and they're having to pour in week after week after week after week into these kids and to bring Jesus' name up for these kids so that they know Jesus. She said, you know what, it was just so cool to be a part of that, where we could pour into them so that they could go back and pour into those kids and pour into their churches and pour into these places. It's not just us. It's not just Houghton County. It's other churches. There's another story that came out of that, and there was our leadership team of that, the women's leadership team of that, of the IF gathering. They were contacted by a group of other women from some, I can't remember what town it was, but it was some smaller town in the Upper Peninsula. And they said, would you teach us how to do women's ministry events like this so that we can bless our community and the women of our church? The women of our church. That's pretty awesome, right? That's how awesome our women are and what an incredible event. Let's just give them a hand. They just did an awesome job. We have numerous Christian college groups calling us, asking if they can use our space for worship nights, square dancing, hanging out. It won't probably happen today, but we have a loft area that's past the warehouse right here to my right, and you go through the doors and there's a loft area up there. And it's a fairly large area, and we started with just a few college students meeting together, opening the Bible together, going through sermon questions together, and it's become so big that we are looking this week for more couches. And there's a lot of couches already up there. There's a lot of space up there, and there's hammocks up there, and it's pretty cool. But we need more space because the students are sitting on the floor, hungry for the Word of God. Amen. For some reason, God has been calling us to influence the culture, not just the 81% that are unchurched on any given Sunday in Houghton County. We didn't ask for this. We didn't say that let's do this. We just said yes. For some reason, in this season, God has called us to do some regional things, to start to have a regional influence. It wasn't our goal. But we just continue to say yes to Jesus and to put his glory on display together. My friends, as we're united together in the mission of in the mission that God has set before us to seek and save the lost and to bring glory to the one who deserves all glory and honor, when we do this, his glory goes on display. As we are united in the mission, the glory that God has given the Son, he's also given it to us to put on display. We are not talking in this campaign, we are not talking about equal amounts. but we are talking about equal sacrifice we'll need to have in order to accomplish this vision and to continue to influence Houghton County. My friends, will you continue to wrestle with this question of what part of the vision, what part of this vision of lifeful living is God calling you to accomplish? We've given you a sheet this morning. It's a FAQ, frequently asked questions. And so I want you to wrestle with that this week. Begin to think about that this week. There's going to become a time, and we're going to get there. Next week, I think you'll have some commitment cards. The 22nd will be the commitment Sunday. And we need to have commitments in order to do this together. We need to say, yes, God, this is where I'm coming in at. This is what I've prayed about. This is what my family believes that how we can do this together. Some of you will say, you know what, we can't do anything right now, but we're going to join a small group, or we're going to be on a prayer team, or we're going to be doing this. Others of you will go, hey, we can do this amount of money, and we're going to do this. We need some of those commitment cards. Or we need all those commitment cards to come in. Some of you guys are going to go on vacation. There's an online form. You can use that also. But we need those things, because what happens is the bank, I'm just being real with you, the bank, they're not going to just give us money, right? They want to make sure that we can pay for this thing, and that we're in this thing together, and it's not some crazy like leadership idea, and that nobody's with us in this thing. And one of the ways that we see that everyone's with us in this is through that commitment, right? And so you'll have a card next week, and you want to continue to wrestle with that. We're not strong-arming anybody. That is not our goal. We're going to talk about money because we have a vision that God has given us to do. We believe in that vision. So we unapologetically talk and say, will you wrestle with this? How is God calling you into accomplishing this vision? Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the truth of your word, that as we're united, others will see you. And that is our prayer today, that we would be united as one, God, that we would be united and we would show the glory that Jesus has given us, that he has put upon us, and that this local church would continue to influence for your name, that people would come to know your son, Jesus, that people would come in a real way to a relationship with you. That is our desire. That our relationship with you would grow in this season, that you're calling us to sacrifice. God, we ask that we would lift Jesus' name up, and that you would be blessed by that. In Jesus' name, amen.